With me tonight to Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12 in your Bibles. Always grateful to be able to preach here. Very thankful for any opportunity to stand before folks and preach God's Word. But it's a privilege to preach here at Calvary Baptist Church. Very thankful for our church, for our pastor, and such a special place in my heart and my family's heart. In January, Pastor Broyhill laid out a vision for our church that we were to be laborers together. Thankful for the ways that we labor together each week. We labor together in each ministry of our church. I think of visitation. So many people who go out each week and are willing to share the gospel with other people. I think of nursing home and jail ministry and RU and children's ministries and can't forget youth ministry. And bus ministry and nursery and so many different ministries that so many of us work together and we come together and labor in. One of the most amazing things that I've seen in our church is when we come together in January, put together 150,000 copies of John and Romans. And what an amazing time for our church to be able to come together and do things. I'm thankful for each year in December, thousands of people flood our property here and our church labors together to see those people reach with the gospel as we take them through the Christmas story. I'm so thankful for those things. And those are amazing ways to labor together. But tonight, I'd like to preach to you about a completely different way that we can labor together. We can labor together through prayer. Let's look at Acts chapter number 12 and begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartilions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. And he raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, and thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which openeth them of its own accord. And when they went out, they passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent this angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all his expectation of the people, the Jews. And when he had considered this thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him, they were astonished. I'm going to talk to you tonight about laboring together through prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. We thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, I'm thankful for what we see in this passage. I pray that you would work in our hearts and lives tonight, that you'd help us in the service. In Jesus' name, amen. The great preacher Vance Havner told a story about an elderly lady who was greatly disturbed for many troubles. Finally, somebody in her family said, Grandma, we've done all we can for you. You'll just have to trust God for the rest. She looked absolutely in despair, and she said to her family, Oh dear, has it come to that? Oftentimes in our life, prayer is our last resort. It's something that it's sort of our emergency line, that when we've come to our last resort and we've done everything we can, then we begin to pray. But can I tell you that we can labor together tonight in prayer? Just like we work in children's ministry or RU or the Scripture Project, we can labor together and see God accomplish great things because of our prayers. The first thing we see tonight is persistent prayers, persistent prayers. In verse number 5, the Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Without ceasing, that's fervent or earnest prayer. These people heard there was a problem, and they began to pray. We find that Peter's been thrown into prison, a prayer meeting is called, and these people, they get serious. Can I tell you that we need to be serious about prayer? We need to be very serious and very persistent in our prayer. Very thankful these people didn't hear that there was a problem, prayed one time, and stopped praying. They started praying, and they kept praying. I think of Luke chapter 11, verse number 5. The Bible says, And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight? And say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine, in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I can tell you, when the kids go to bed, it's not a good time to come over. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, Though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity will he rise and give him as many as he needeth. But I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or shall he for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Jesus gives this example. A guy goes to his friend's house and needs some bread. He knocks on the door. Hey, my kids are in bed. Go away. And he keeps knocking until he finally gets what he needs. Can I tell you that if we stop praying at one time, we're stopping too soon? If you go to God in prayer and you pray about it one time, hey, it's great that you prayed one time. But if you pray one time and your prayer's not answered and you stop praying, you've stopped entirely too soon. It's important that we keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. The old timers referred to praying through. Can I tell you, I believe that many times the reason our prayers are not answered is because we give up too early. We stop praying when God wants us to keep praying and keep asking. And Jesus tells us here that if we ask, we will receive. How many prayers have you prayed that you felt like God didn't answer, and ultimately you just stopped praying too early? Verses 11 through 13, Jesus talks about the relationship between a father and his children. I don't know about you, but I like giving things to my kids. I like when I see something they want and I can give it to them. I love when they come up to me and ask me for something. I'm able to provide them that for them. Think about how much more our Heavenly Father loves to give us things. We ask Him and He gives them to us. There's such joy in giving, and we find that if we ask and we keep asking and we're persistent in our asking, we find that our God will answer our prayers. Now, I want to tell you tonight, do not give up in your prayers. Keep praying for your prodigal. Keep praying for that need. Keep praying for that thing that seems impossible, because we have a God that can answer your prayer tonight. We find here that there's a group of Christians, and they band together, and they pray to God to perform a miracle, and God does perform that miracle because they keep praying. And I'm thankful tonight that we serve a prayer-answering God. And the key is that these people got together, and they prayed. Some of the sweetest times in our church since I've been here was when our pastor was sick, and Brother Vernon, those men's prayer meetings right down there. So we got together, and we began to pray and ask God to heal our pastor. And you know what? He did. Amen. We kept praying and we kept asking, and I'm thankful tonight that our God answers prayers. Can I tell you tonight, don't give up, just keep praying. We see not only did they pray persistently, it says they prayed without ceasing, we see that there were some prayers under pressure. We find that Herod was ready to take Peter out. He had just gotten rid of James, and now it's Peter's turn to go. There are three Herods in the New Testament. There's Herod the Great that was trying to take Jesus out before he was born. There was Herod Antipas, who beheaded John the Baptist and tried Jesus. And then we have Herod Agrippa here. Herod had killed James. He's ready to imprison Peter. You think about this. James has been murdered. Peter's next. And in these circumstances, the people pray, expecting God to do something. Peter's ready to Herod's ready to satisfy the people and see Peter's head gone. But the people begin to pray. They begin to pray and see that God can do great things. Can you imagine what the early church would have been like if the Christians would have just given up in hard times? You think about this. Stephen had been killed. James had been killed. Countless Christians are persecuted and killed in their house just for being Christians. After all those murders, after all those people have not made it for their Christianity, if they say, you know what? These people are being killed. Let's just give up. Times are just too bad. Let's just give up. Can I tell you that I think that may be the attitude of some Christians today? It's just too hard. Let's just give up. The world is just too bad. Let's give up. Can I tell you, in hard times is when we see our God come through. Don't stop praying because things are hard. It's in hard times that we need to ramp up our prayers. In verse 6, it says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, they begin to pray. It's important to see that God answered those prayers. This is the night before Peter's getting ready to be brought forth and killed. Can I tell you tonight that as long as there's a God in heaven, you can keep praying? No matter how hopeless your situation seems, no matter how many bills are beginning to pile up, no matter what the doctor says, keep praying. When pressure is on, we see God's strength the most. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He tells Paul, when you're weak, that is when I'm strong. Thomas Watson, the Puritan writer, said, the angel fetched Peter out of the prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. I think Peter's thinking back to this in 1 Peter chapter 3, when he says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I'm thankful that when it seemed like everything in my life is falling apart, I can go to God in prayer, and I'm worried that when I'm so worried that I can't sleep, God is up too. Thankful for Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which hath made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. We serve a God that when you're awake at 4 o'clock in the morning because you're so overwhelmed by everything, we serve a God that's awake at 4 o'clock in the morning too. And can I tell you, no matter how bad your problems are, no matter how bad things are piling up, no matter what is going on in your life tonight, we serve a God that answers prayers, and we serve a God that under pressure still comes through. Can I tell you that your prayer life is bigger than you? My prayer life is more than just about praying for my needs. When these Christians labored together in prayer, God intervened in the life of Peter. And when we labor together in prayer, there is nothing in this earth that's stronger than the power that we possess. So we see not only tonight their persistent prayers, we see their prayers under pressure, then we see their powerful prayers. J. Edgar Hoover, the founder of the FBI, said the spectacle of a nation praying is more awe-inspiring than the explosion of an atomic bomb. The force of prayer is greater than any possible combination of man-made or man-controlled powers, because prayer is man's greatest means of tapping the infinite resources of God. In the book of Acts, we see the model for what our church should be like. They had a history of praying and seeing amazing results. Acts chapter number 1, verse 13, the Bible says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus with his brethren. We find that Jesus had just ascended into heaven. He had died, he had resurrected, and now here he is 50 days later. He's resurrecting into heaven. They see him bodily ascend into heaven, and then what do? They go to the upper room, and they begin to pray. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit has come. Pentecost, I mean, such a great day. All these amazing things are happening. And then it says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Thousands had been saved. God was building his church. Incredible things were happening. And what happens? They were in breaking of bread and in prayers.
After prayers, great fear came upon every soul. You know why? Because they labored together in prayer, and God did incredible things because of their prayers. You get to Acts chapter 3. You have Peter and John heal a man who had been lame for his birth. And when does it happen? It happens after they pray. Acts chapter number 4. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. What happens? They pray, and there's boldness. They pray, and there's power. Do you see a pattern here? When God's people labor together in prayer, God does incredible things. And can I tell you, that was not limited to 2,000 years ago. When God's people labor together in prayer today, incredible things still occur. I'm thankful today for a prayer answering God. He wants to hear our prayers. He asks us to pray. As a matter of fact, He tells us a lot of times the reason we don't have is because we don't ask. All we have to do is trust our God and labor together and begin to ask Him for things, and He answers those prayers. Peter and John were locked up, and the angel freed them. And we find in Acts chapter 10, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. As Peter begins to pray, what happens? God comes to him and shows him the vision of this man over in Macedonia. And the gospel is opened up to the Gentiles at that point. When does this Great Commission continue to open up? After Peter prays. Amen. Amen. When we look at major things in the church, they all followed the prayers of God's people. These aren't the only situations, but they're just several that we find. And we see that when God's people pray, prayer works. E.M. Bounds says every mighty move of the Spirit of God has had its source in the prayer chamber. So we find that it's the night before Peter's to be martyred. The angel comes and taps Peter on his side, wakes him up, says, Peter, it's time to put on your sandals. It is time to leave. Because God's people had prayed. Our God is powerful. In the 1850s, America was in trouble. The nation was on the verge of civil war. It was actually September of 1853, I believe. There was a church in Lower Manhattan, right in the area of the World Trade Center now. The church began to struggle. Nothing was happening. It was on the verge of closing down. And they called a young man by the name of Jeremiah Lamphere to the church there. You see Jeremiah there, and he was supposed to come to the church and help them with outreach. Jeremiah actually had never been a pastor, but he was so passionate to reach people, he would go around New York City handing out tracts to see people saved. Well, this church decided that they wanted what Jeremiah was doing. So Jeremiah came to the church, and he began to hand out tracts, and nothing happened. He wasn't seeing people come like he wanted them to. So he decided, we're just wasting our time if we don't pray. So you see this daily prayer meeting pamphlet he had made up. He said, if anything is going to happen, it's going to be because God's people pray. Amen. He called a prayer meeting, handed out 20,000 of those flyers you see there. 1 hour. From 12 to 1, surely you would think with 20,000 people being invited that the room would be packed. Well, the day came and Jeremiah went to the room and he began to pray. He prayed and he prayed, and for half an hour he remained there praying in solitude. Not a single person came. After half an hour, a man showed up and without a word knelt beside him. And then another, and then another. And by 1 p.m. there were 10 people on the ground praying. The following week, they decided to do it again, and more people showed up. By October, Lamphere had to get a larger building, and on the 7th of October, he had 40 businessmen as prayer partners, and they asked to meet not once a week, but they asked to meet every day. By October 10th, the stock market crashed, and people began to turn to God in prayer. Such a great number of people flocked to churches that soon many places of worship around New York City were forced to have daily times of prayer. People would come in on their lunch break and spend an hour in prayer begging God to do something in their city. A reporter one day rushed from sanctuary to sanctuary and counted over 6,000 people who were praying, and he wasn't able to visit every meeting place. It began to spread. Chicago and St. Louis and Cleveland and other large cities began to have daily prayer meetings. It began to go around the country, and it actually ended up going around the world. This was known as the Third Great Awakening, and it happened because one man had a burden to pray. One man had a burden to reach souls, and he knew that all in vain would be spirit. Or I'm sorry, all would be in vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One would come down. And as God's people prayed, God showed up, and worldwide revival happened because of one man that decided to labor together in prayer. You hear about the way it used to be. I tell you, the way it used to be was because God's people prayed. God touched people because they spent time asking Him to have their touch on their lives. I've been thankful to see a spark of revival in our church. It seems like every Sunday I look up and there's people lined up to join the church and people being saved and baptism waters being stirred over and over and over. And I'm thankful to see what God is doing in Calvary Baptist Church. I believe there's several reasons for it. One is because beginning of the year, Pastor Roy Hill announced Faithful Men's Prayer Breakfast. The men I've talked to have loved that. I've loved Brother Vernon spending time in prayer with the men of our church, asking God to do something. Amen. I believe that has been a real key. Several months ago, I preached a similar message to our teenagers. I told the story of Jeremiah Lamphere. After the service, John Fry came up to me. He said, I'd like to have a once-a-week prayer meeting in our school. We set it up, and John and several of the guys in our school began to lead that. Every Thursday afternoon, they would take their lunch break and they would pray for God to do great things in our school and in our church. I believe He's answered. Can I tell you, to sit in a room full of teenagers, they begin to ask God to do something great. Can I tell you, God responds to that. God honors that. When we labor together and pray, our God can do great things. And the reason He's not doing great things when we expect Him to many times is because we're not asking Him to. We serve a God who answers our prayers in a powerful way. Lastly, this point may sound a little crazy, but they had preposterous prayers. Verse 12. And when they had considered the thing, when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. As Peter knocked on the door at the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And she knew it was Peter's voice, and she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told Peter, told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had knocked the door and saw him, when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Can I tell you today, our God answers crazy prayers. You think about this. Peter's locked up. At all times, there were four soldiers with Peter. One on each side and two at the door. James had just been killed. Peter was not getting out of prison. It can't happen. And God's people begin to pray. God's people begin to ask God to do something crazy. God, will you get Peter out of prison? So crazy that in verse 9 it says that as Peter's going out of prison, Peter don't even believe he's going out of prison. He believes it's just a dream. Then he goes and... We don't read the Bible with imagination a lot of times. I can imagine this. Peter, he stumbles to the door and he can't believe himself that he's at this door. And he knocks. And Rhoda, this servant girl, comes up. Who's there? It's Peter. Well, Rhoda, she's so excited, she don't even open the door. She runs off and says, "Hey, Peter's at the door." She interrupts their prayer meeting to tell them that their prayer has been answered. And they don't believe the prayer has been answered. No, I'm telling you, he's out there. Well, the whole time, Peter's out there. Hey, guys, let me in. And finally, they go, and sure enough, there's Peter at the door. Can I tell you, the reason God doesn't answer those crazy prayers in our lives is because we've stopped praying them. We've stopped believing that God can do incredible things. Can I tell you tonight, the God that parted the Red Sea can still part the Red Sea? The God of the Bible is still the God of the Bible. He's still powerful God. He's still prayer-answering God. And can I tell you that no need in your life is too big for our God to answer. He's an incredible God. I remember sitting in staff meetings. Pastor saying, guys, we got to fix our parking lot. I don't know how our parking lot's going to get fixed, but we got to fix it. And he prayed about it. You came in tonight, you saw a pretty nice new parking lot there. I don't know about you, but I don't have $900,000 to pay off the 2020 vision debt. But the God that we can labor together in prayer for does. I don't have the money. I don't have the answers. I don't have the solutions. But can I tell you tonight, our God does. And He answers prayers that in our minds seem crazy. I remember several years ago, I wrecked my car. And I sat down and I prayed a really selfish prayer. I said, Lord, pray that you give me more money than my car is worth and then give me a better car than the amount of money I had. Crazy prayer. A selfish prayer, really. Well, I remember getting the call from the insurance company that I got significantly more for my car than it was worth. Check. And then I remember, I was just a teenager, you know, scouring the internet. When you're a teenager, that's sort of what you do. You just sit around and look for cars and that kind of stuff. And finally, I found the car. And I called the guy and I made an offer. And over the phone, I'll do that. Way less than the car was worth. Two prayers that I prayed in a very selfish way, not expecting that they would be answered. And they were answered. Amen. I know that's a small thing. But can I tell you tonight, when God's people pray, God responds. And even more than just when I pray, when we pray, God answers. I believe that our God can still do the impossible. I still believe that God responds to the prayers of His people. And I still believe that God can save the lost. Amen. Tonight I want to challenge you. Amen. Not just to labor together in visitation and children's ministry and RU and jail ministry and nursing home ministry and nursery and media and doing all those different things we do. I encourage you tonight to keep praying. Keep laboring together in prayer, knowing tonight that our God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Amen. Don't quit praying. Labor together in prayer.